Hey, Gas Miniature. Probably this is the last sermon on this series. Okay, it's the 20th sermon. Whoa, hallelujah, long time. Okay, now, last time we discussed about the God's glory. As a God's miniature, of course, an important purpose or task that we have is to show God's glory, to show God's glory. Amen. Make sure that this is God's glory, not to show the glory of men. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let's look at the John one more time, 15:8, this week's memory verse one more time. John 15:8, let's start from there. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, and then showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, what does this mean to be Jesus' disciples? To be Jesus' disciples. Okay, to become Jesus' disciples. And this verse says, by becoming or by being Jesus' disciples, that you show Father's glory. Yeah. Showing Father's glory and the Father receiving the glory is the same thing. You show the glory, and that glory of the Father goes back to Father, so he receives it. But that glory is shown through you, so those things happen at the same time. Okay, so this is to my Father's glory, and of course it means the Father receives the glory. But then it also means that you show Father's glory. Father's glory is shown through you. And then it says, by you bearing fruit and also by you becoming Jesus' disciples. Okay? We looked at, last time we learned that there are two kinds of glory. One is the glory from God, and of course, and then another kind is the glory of man, glory from men. And John, let's go to John 5, and this is what Jesus taught. So, okay, this is not my idea, but this is Jesus' idea. So let's go to John 5 one more time. I want to make sure that you know this, okay? 5:41, verse 41. I do not accept praise from it. Translated as praise from men, but it's same thing as glory from men. Same Greek word, doxa. A lot of times it's translated as a glory when it's talking about the glory of God. But it's the same word. So, glory from men. I do not accept, Jesus said. And then verse 42, but I know that you do not have the love of God in your heart, and I have come in my Father's name. I have come in my Father's name. When you talk about the Father's name or somebody's name, you're talking about authority of that person, man. And when you say, I came in the name of somebody, that somebody gave you authority to do something. And so you do the work that that he told you to do. By doing so, that you show the glory of that man. So it's the same thing he said when Jesus said, I have come in my Father's name, so that he did Father's work, and by doing so, he showed his glory. Amen? So I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. You do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, You will accept him, indicating these two different kinds of glory, they cannot coexist together. Incompatible. In other words, you cannot have both of them at the same time. If you either seek only glory of men, or you seek glory of God. You cannot seek 50%, 50%, 50% glory of God, and 50% man. I want both. No, you cannot do that. Both these two kinds of glory, completely incompatible. So that's why they couldn't understand what Jesus said. They couldn't believe what Jesus said. Do you understand? Completely different. Incompatible. And so he says, but then those who are, those who are already always receive, accept glory of man, they work, they go along with together and they accept each other because they're of the same kind. Do you understand? Amen. Verse 44, how can you believe, therefore, if you accept the praise from one another, that is the praise or glory from men, and yet make no effort to obtain the praise, and the word is again doxa, so obtain the glory that comes from the only God. So this kind of glory comes from God, and it is good, and you should, in fact, make effort. You should make effort. It is good to seek. It is good to seek. Amen. In fact, there is a seeking of God's glory. To me, barometer. You can tell it's a measure that you can see that, that Christian is how much he has grown spiritually. The more he has grown, that he seeks glory of God more. He makes effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God. And but those who don't seek, they still are seeking the things that the people of this world seek. Same stuff they seek. And they compete each other, and they say, they work hard on that kind of thing. So you see, okay. So, okay, that much we learned last time. And when you talk about becoming disciples, okay, and becoming disciples, Jesus' disciples, means that you follow in his footsteps. You live like he did. You live like, like he lived. That's what the disciple means, right? And how did he live? In other words, already, of course, he said this, and he doesn't accept the praise of men. But when he talks about the glory, what does he mean? What kind of glory? And I mean, what is in more particular, in precise way? What kind of glory did he show? What kind of glory was shown through him? So we looked at John 12, for instance. Let's go to 12. John 12. And this is the best place to, I think, to find out what he meant by glory, God's glory. One time, Gentiles, a Greek person, came and asked if he could follow Jesus, and for him it was a sort of a sign. Sign for what? So, verse 23. Let's look at. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." He says. By that kind of Greek person to follow, Jesus. It was a sign. So the hour has, he came to know that the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And then what does he mean by to be glorified? Verse 24, I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Again, here talking about the producing seeds of bearing fruit. Bearing a fruit, becoming disciples, kind of same, you know, both you know, those two things are same thing. And through those two things, you know, Father receives glory. It is to Father's glory. Amen? So here Jesus is saying, so what, okay, I, you know, he's talking about himself, obviously. A kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies. It remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds and produces many fruit. By that, of course, you see, Father receives glory. So he's talking about the glory. He's answering the question. What the glory means for him. Verse 25, the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So that indicates, verse 25 indicates that he's not just talking about himself. You know, all the disciples should live in the same way. Yeah. All disciples should live in the same. Verse 26, whoever serves me must follow me. He wants to be a disciple, okay? Then whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. Where I am, interesting. Where I am, my servant also will be. Amen. Even after Jesus was He died and raised from the dead and he ascended to heaven. Still, you know, disciples will be in the same place where Jesus is today. Yeah. Are you in the same place? That's the key, in fact. It says here, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also. Otherwise, you know, if you're not in where Jesus is, you're not his follower. You have to follow him. Wherever he goes, you have to go. If you go different places, then you are not following him, you see. Amen. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Honor the one who serves me. It simply just means it gives honor, gives glory to that man. And then he goes on at verse 27, now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from his hour. Now it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. By doing what? What does he mean? Father, glorify your name. And Father understood. Yeah? And then the voice came from heaven. Okay, he said, I have glorified it and will glorify it in the future. Soon, again, will glorify it again because Jesus asked. So what is that, you know, this, it happens in this hour. What is it that he's talking about, this hour? Obviously, his death. Our came. You mean his death is for God's glory? Yes. Hallelujah. So that's where always Christians kind of misunderstand, and many of Christians are kind of blind about that. When they think of God's glory, yeah, okay, I live for God's glory, I must show his glory. And what they are really trying to do is that they are trying to save themselves, and nothing of God's glory is shown. Satan is using. They don't realize that. And in fact, they're not Jesus' disciples that way. They don't know what it means to follow Jesus. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and then follow me. Those who follow are disciples. They always make mistake here. I want you to learn this, and this is, if you learn it, it's going to be big step. Big step. Amen. Okay? So then verse 29, the crowd that was there and heard it said, and he had thundered, heard it say, an angel had spoken to him, and so on. And then at the end, verse 33, John makes sure that the readers understand. He kind of worries sort of that the people misunderstand us. Readers might misunderstand. So he said, verse 33, he said this to show the kind of death that he was going to die. And that was for Father's glory. Amen. And that is our master, and we are his followers, and we are his disciples. And we are to follow in his steps. Amen. Concerning showing God's glory too. Whoa, Jesus died, and that's the way that they showed the Father's glory. But our way of showing glory, God's glory, is different. You might say, then you are his follower. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and then follow me. You understand? Obviously, we didn't learn that, you know? We didn't learn this kind of thing when we were in the world. Nobody taught this way. No, in fact, all people taught in opposite way, you know. Show yourself, you know what I mean? That's what you need to do. Just like those brothers said, one time when Jesus was in his town. Why are you here? All people going to Jerusalem. Go to Jerusalem, show yourself. You want to show yourself to the world, then why don't you go to Jerusalem? You should go to Jerusalem. And Jesus said, no, my time has not come yet. I don't go. You go. Your time is always here. My time to show God's glory hasn't come yet. That's what he meant. And his time to show his glory is his cross, his death. Amen. We need to learn this. What do you think? We need to learn this. If you learn this, your life is going to be totally different. Obviously. Amen. Amen. Okay? Now let's go to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. And then we'll look at this story again. Now, in this story, of course, it doesn't say anything. It doesn't use the word glory or anything like that. But it's telling the same thing. As you know, like those two sons of Zebedee came and with the mother and then asked, you know, brought the request to Jesus and let one of us sit at the right hand, at your right hand, and another at the left hand, and so on. Remember. Yeah, and then this man, verse 16 and following, rich man, also came with a sort of same request, same idea, same attitude. So now a man came up to Jesus and asked, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Of course, he knew the answer, but he just asked. Why do you ask me about what is good? And Jesus replied, and there's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. And then he asked, which ones? Obviously, why he asked which ones? He knew which ones. Of course, everybody knows, you see, Ten Commandments. But which ones? And of course, Jesus answers. And after Jesus answered and said, verse 26, oh, this is what he wanted to say. All these I have kept, the young man said. Amen. I kind of wonder what kind of faces that the disciples had at the end. How did they look at? You know, he spoke loudly. The disciples kind of looking at it and say, "Wow! And he wants to be one of us. What do you think?" Obviously, he asked this question and he said these things to what? Seeking what kind of glory? Which kind of glory? Man, glory of man, glory of man. So to him, Jesus answered, 21, Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, treasure in heaven, then come follow me. Treasure in heaven is actually glory. Now you might think glory is not substance and it's not anything that it's good to seek because it's just a glory. Rather, I want food, I want a house, I want a car, you might say. But in a spiritual world, glory is sort of a substance, so real. Yeah? And it does not disappear. And you can see that when you read the story of the demon-possessed man, he came running. And that man never saw Jesus before, but he came running and then fell on the ground in front of Jesus and said, "The Son of the Most High!" In other words, he couldn't stand the glory that Jesus had because that glory was so real. Amen. Amen. So, okay, this is treasure in heaven. The most important treasure that you're going to receive in heaven is the glory. Hallelujah. You are already receiving His glory while you are on earth as well. Glory as a king, we discussed. Glory as a king and glory as a priest. We are both royal priesthood. Clothes that... For instance, and the king too. Kings always wear special clothes, special robe, and then priests also. Yeah, wear the priestly garments. Those garments represent or symbolize the kind of glory that exists in the spiritual world. God has given you already. You are putting on. Hallelujah. But you're going to have more when you go to heaven. Wow. Amen. But he said, if you want that, sell your possession and give it to the poor. He said that. Amen. Indicating, this is another very important truth or aspect about the seeking glory. You have to give some kind of sacrifices. Without giving sacrifices, you're not going to get any glory of God. We learned that Jesus, talked about the glory that he was going to show, that is, through death. What kind of sacrifice did he give for that? Do you understand? A lot of people think, without giving sacrifice, they were just a glory. You cannot get it. You cannot get that way. God always requires some kind of sacrifices from you. In other words, by you giving sacrifices, God can, in return, give you His glory. Amen. The sacrifice, the kind of sacrifice that you give, obviously, as this story teaches us here, it says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. What does that mean? And this man was rich, probably famous in a society. He already had the glory of man. Give it up. Give it up. You cannot have both. Give it up completely. Then follow me, Jesus said. Become, my disciple. And through that, you see, Father's glory will be shown. It is for Father's glory. You cannot have both. That means you have to give up the glory of man. Amen. So this is always a sort of a stumbling block for many of Christians. They want God's glory, but then they cannot give up the glory of man on earth. So they go on seeking it. Amen. So what kind of treasures in heaven they're going to receive? Not much. Amen. So as he goes on, the man, of course, becomes so sad. I hope, we don't know for sure, I hope after this he repented and then decided to follow by doing, actually, giving up all. You know, this man was famous. He had family, obviously, and a certain position in society. You know, in order to follow Jesus, follow Jesus. And you go preaching gospel in spite of all the persecution. You have to give up your family, your position in the society, and all kinds of things. If you cling to those things, you cannot follow Jesus, Obviously. You have to give up sacrifices. So he says here at the end, verse 29, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters, so not just houses, even family members, brothers and sisters, father or mother, even parents, or even children, or again coming back, fields, for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Amen. Indicating God requires some kind of sacrifice all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, that's another very important truth that you need to know, because a lot of times the Christians try to, they think they can get still God's glory without making any sacrifices, so they keep all this glory of man that they are getting already, they're getting it, and they don't give it up, and they come to church and do the same thing and try to get the glory. And actually what they try to get the glory is the glory of men, not the glory of God at all. Do you understand? That happens all the time. So in a true sense, they are not Jesus' disciples here. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and then follow me. All disciples did. They were fishermen. They were not rich like this young man. They had both. They had net. They had families. But Jesus told them, follow me. They did. Amen. They did. Yes, hallelujah. Okay, so that's about the discipleship. Yeah, and discipleship is for God's glory. Discipleship, by becoming Jesus' disciple, that itself is for God's glory, obviously. That's what exactly Jesus said. Amen. Now, let's go to Romans 8. Romans 8. Then we'll look at verse 17, familiar passage. It talks about the glory as well. Okay, so now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Now, so far, we discussed only the first part of this, verse talking about the co-heirs, talking about inheritance. And we kind of ignored because that's a big topic, another big topic. We didn't touch upon it, not much, okay, although we discussed this already a little bit. But it says, if indeed we share, if indeed, meaning if indeed you are, meet the following condition, then you will be co-heirs with God. So if indeed we share in his sufferings. Suffering means sacrifices. You know, maybe we should look at another passage first. I try to skip it because it might take long, but then let's go there, okay? Let's not care and worry about the time. 1 Peter 4. Let's go to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. Okay. You know, this letter was written at the time the Christians, those days, having really severe persecutions. And the persecution getting more and more severe. And Peter himself was, in fact, in jail, and they were about to be killed, crucified, and he wanted to encourage Christians. And look at verse 12 and following, chapter 4 and verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. And then it was, there's nothing strange about it. Verse 13, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. Amen. That's something very kind of very positive about the sufferings. Sufferings, in this case, sufferings of Christ. Participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. His glory is revealed. In other words, through your sufferings, through the suffering, participating in the sufferings of Jesus Christ, glory will be shown. And you're going to be overjoyed. Amen. Amen. And this is the, of course, the kind of glory that the Jesus was talking about through the death. Yeah. Verse 14. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory. He, expresses that way. The spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Amen. Well, people might not see it, of course. You need spiritual eyes to see it. Only some people, only particular people can see it, but then they will see it. And that's a big glory. So be glad to be persecuted. Be glad to suffer. That's what Peter is saying. Because these sufferings are for God's glory. Same idea. We don't think that way, though. That's not a natural sort of idea. Do you understand? Nobody taught us that way when we were in the world. Yeah, only the Bible teaches that. Amen. But this is so true. Verse 15, if you suffer, it should not be as murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. You sin and you suffer. That's natural. We know that. We knew it. It went already before we became Christian. Verse 16, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed. But praise God, hallelujah, that you bear that name. Praise God. What kind of action is that? Giving glory back to God. Hallelujah. Because that suffering is for God's glory, and He gives you that glory when you suffer that way, and then you give that glory back to God. And so praise God. Verse 17, for it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God and so on and so on. Now, let's look at also chapter 2, the same letter, verse 18. In this letter, of course, it talks about that kind of sufferings everywhere. But this is a good place to look at it. Chapter 2, verse 18. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect. Not only to those who are good, yeah, and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. Yeah, you see some very harsh masters are selfish, you know. You see, don't get panicked. Don't get mad. In obedience, submit yourself to that kind of bosses. Verse 19. And for it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering. That's the term he uses all the time. Unjust suffering. As opposed to sufferings that you suffer when you sin. But this is unjust suffering. There's no reason that you suffer in that way, but then you receive it. Unjust suffering. Because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. In what way? It is for God's glory. To this you were called. Amen. Because, and then he brings the example, the best example. Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. And you are his disciple. Amen. He's a good example. He received unjust suffering. Most severe unjust suffering in the world. He received it and died. You follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. In his action, of course, he didn't sin, he didn't steal, he didn't murder, he didn't even, commit adultery, anything like that, any action. But look at, no deceit was found in his mouth. Peter lived with Jesus for 3 years and never heard anything negative, words of unbelief, anything. anything like that. Worries, anxiety, nothing. Perfect. Peter knew it. Yet, what? Yet, he was crucified, received unjust suffering. So, verse 23, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Even on the cross, you see, he didn't say anything negative. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Amazing. Amen. Unjust suffering. And that was for God's glory. Hallelujah. So verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Not just talking about our sins, also sickness. He redeemed us from sickness. Hallelujah. Because of the unjust suffering that he received. And that was God's glory. Amen. And we are to follow in his steps. So, with that in mind, let's go back to Romans 8 one time. Okay, this time Paul is saying, but he knew the same truth. He knew the same truth. Okay, now read it again, verse 17. Now, if we are our children, then we are heirs. Children, meaning God's miniature, same thing. This is how you should live. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in the same way that Jesus suffered, in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Hallelujah. And this is another truth. In this case, Jesus, but God, same thing, Father. Father shares his glory with us. Share means that he gives part of that share to us. If I have lunch, which is too much for me, I share with you. I'm glad to share with you. So some part of the lunch, I'll give it to you. We share. Amen. Father is full of his glory, and then he shared that glory with us, meaning he gives his glory to us. But only when you participate, you know, when you also share in Jesus' sufferings. That's the condition. Amen. That's what the Bible says. So he requires all the time. And he wants to give you glory. But how can God say, how can I give it? You're just always trying to get it and get, from man. And you don't give any sacrifices. You don't give it up. How can I give it up? Sometimes he kind of forces to do it. Didn't that happen to you? That's what pruning means. He cut it off. And at the time, ouch, don't cut it. I need that. I want that. He cut it off. Gone. It's gone. You're gonna get it back. Sorry. He doesn't say sorry, but gone. Without it. That way, he can give you. He can share his glory with you. He does that all the time. It's the same thing as bearing fruit. See, those two things always go together. Bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. And becoming disciples. Become Jesus' disciples. Become Jesus' disciples mean giving up those things. There are three things. How many understand? Hallelujah. Okay? And let's go on in this chapter. Okay. Even that, so now, so far we understand that, you know, that you need to give it up. But in order to give it up, you need to know first that the glory that you are trying to get, that you are making effort to seek, you know, able to get, obtain the glory. But is the glory that much worthy? If it is not worthy to give up all those things and to give such a, you know, sacrifices, then you don't do it. If you don't think it's worthy, well, glory then. What's glory? I don't think it's a good. I mean, I don't need it. Yeah. If you don't think it's worthy, and you don't think it's valuable, then you don't give it up. You don't give any sacrifices. So that's another problem too. See? But then usually when you grow more spiritually, you more and more become conscious about the spiritual reality, the things of God, things of above, things above, rather than things of below. And you start seeking more of those things. Glory. Well, glory doesn't mean anything. I want lunch. You must have more. I want lunch. I want my stomach filled. That's more important. Do you understand? Then you don't seek, you see. You don't give it up. You don't seek the things above. So you have to know this about the glory of the house. Wonderful it is. So how can I say it? You know? And then look at this. Verse 18 says, I consider, Paul knew it already, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us in the future. In the future? Not now? Oh, I don't like that. You never know about the future. You see, then, you know, you don't go through these sufferings. You don't receive. Do you understand? But if you know how wonderful this glory is, then, oh, then this is stuff. Suffering's a little bit. So what? Nothing. That's what Paul is saying here. Hope is very important. Amen. We all believe in going to heaven. That's a hope, isn't it? When you go up there, we receive God's glory. We see God's glory. Seeing God's glory is the same thing as receiving God's glory. Amen. Those who don't seek God's glory, they don't see it. Their spiritual eyes are closed. All they see is this stuff, food, cars, houses. Those are everything. They don't see God's glory. Their spiritual eyes are closed. They don't receive God's glory because they don't see His glory. So seeing God's glory means you have to be there where God is showing His glory. God is giving glory. You have to be together with Jesus. Together where you need to be where Jesus is. And then you see His glory all the time. Amen. By seeing, when you see His glory, He is sharing His glory with you. And His glory is shown through you that time. That's how it happens. Well, we'll look at in a minute. But here, he's comparing between the glory and then sufferings that he's going through on earth. Look at verse 19. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Or you can say the sons of God to be born. Born means maybe not good. Revealed means they're already born, but they become complete. They're going to be shown completely. The time will come. Actually, you can say it's talking about the resurrection of our bodies in the future. All people who are dead will be raised from the dead. Amen? And then those who don't believe, didn't believe Jesus, will experience another death. This time, they're going to be sent to hell. But for us, second death doesn't mean anything. We're going to be raised from the dead. And our body is going to be body of glory. Body of glory. Sons of God. Actually, this is what Malachi is talking about. Remember that God made, talking about Israel, that in a direct context, didn't God make you one? And then, what is that God? One God. God is also one Father. Seek. The answer is sons of God. Sons of God. Descendants of God. Because Israel and Holy Spirit married together. What happens when a husband and wife married together? Children are born. Be fruitful. Yeah. Be many. That happens. In this case, Israel and the Holy Spirit marries. That's what, you know, do you understand? When people are chosen. Yeah? And then they're going to bear descendants of God. Sons of God. And that is for glory of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And okay, so here's sons of God to be revealed, verse 20. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. It happened because of the judgment as a result of sin, obviously. And okay, subjected in hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Yeah, the little translation is brought into the freedom of the glory. There's a noun, glory, doxa, again. Freedom of the glory of the children of God. Yeah, meaning here, look at the glory of the children of God. Great glory will be revealed, shown through the children. In other words, you can say that glory is given to those children of God. Amen? And that is at the same time, freedom. Freedom from what? Any kind of sufferings. The result of the sin. We were, you know, as a result of sin, we are put into this kind of curses and then sufferings and so on. We become totally free. And that's for the glory of God. Amen. He tried to do that to the nation of Israel, although in a direct sense that he failed to do it. Not he failed, that they failed. They failed. So what, you know, that children of God actually, that the Malachi talked about, became fulfilled through Jesus Christ, through us now. Do you understand? Through the church, Christians. Hallelujah. Descendants. And these are the sons of God, you hear Paul is talking about. Amen. Anyway, and then verse 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groaning inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. In fact, all humans already, you know, created at the beginning. We're created in God's image and likeness. We were sons, but something happened, you know, as a result of sin. So, through Jesus Christ, God brought everything back to the original state. In fact, better than the original state. This kind of glory was not shown. And if would not have been shown, or would not be shown, that if Adam and Eve sinned, if no human sin, death of the Son of God, greatest glory in the whole universe, including spiritual world as well, came, as a result of human sin. And it doesn't mean it's good. It was good to sin. No. Everything, all this, is for God's glory.
Wow.
Do you see that in this way? Paul knew it. If you know how wonderful that is, you see, then it becomes easy to give up the things of this world. Are you with me? In fact, when you go to Ephesians, let's go to Ephesians. Okay, chapter 1. In this chapter 2, we see some words. Again, same word is used here, glory, doxa. As you know, verse 3 and following, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise. Whenever you talk about the praise, always something to do with glory. The praise of his glorious grace. Literally, praise of glory of the grace. Grace itself is a glory. And the glory of the grace. And this is to the praise of glory. When glory is shown, what happens? Praise always go along with it. Angels praise, we praise. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what is happening in the spiritual world before God all the time. So be used to it. You're going to be doing a lot when you go up there. If you do it well here, okay, and you will do it good in heaven too. But you're not even used to it. Wow. You did all the time. Morning till night. Well, of course, there's no night. But 25, 26. We don't know how many hours a day is. But anyway, all the time. Nothing else. It's hard to think about it. We only meet here once in a foot. So, couple times a week, for some people just once a day, once a week, and then praise God in just 20 minutes or so, and then that's it. No, in heaven, a lot. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, and then let's skip some of it. Okay, and then verse 11 and following, it talks about the inheritance, and we were chosen to inherit the, talking about the God's kingdom, and the Holy Spirit is the deposit. Verse 13 and 14. Let's look at verse 14. Who is a deposit? Talking about Holy Spirit. And guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. And this is even to the praise of His glory. Amen. To the praise of His glory. So every once in a while, you know, he always, you know, you can see it, not just here in Ephesians, but also in his letters, not just the Paul's letter, but also Peter's letter. All of them always, yeah, everything. It's just the praise of his glory, to the praise of his glory, to the praise of his glory. That is something we need to learn more. We don't think about the praise of God that much. When you stop thinking about that kind of, then we stop, you know, we think more about the things of this world, obviously. And so verse 15 and following, Paul prays. Praise for the Christians in Ephesus. Verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And the following is the prayer he gives all the time. I keep asking, not just once or twice, no, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father. Little translation is the Father of glory. Father of glory. NIV always tries to smooth out the English. Father of glory, a glorious Father. But the Father has glory, and then this Father is a Father of glory. May give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. You know, there's eyes of your heart as well as the eyes of your face. Usually eyes are on your face. But in this case, your eyes of your heart. Heart also has eyes. These are spiritual eyes. Amen. May be enlightened, meaning open, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. The hope that he just, you know, we looked at the passage in Romans 8, the kind of hope. You know, sons of God will reveal in glory. So he called you, hope to which he called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance. Again, riches of the glory of the inheritance. To me, literal translation is better for me to understand. When you smooth out, you see, it sounds maybe smooth, but then emphasis changes. And you see, Paul, all of these, you know, whenever it is translated as glorious, it's not an adjective. And it's if an adjective, it's abstract. You know, it is a noun. There is such a thing as a glory. He's talking about the glory. It's not a glorious, blah, blah, blah. No, it's a glory. Inheritance itself is a glory. And in this case, it's not just a little bit of glory. Riches, abundance of the glory of inheritance. In other words, the poet is praying that you see how, you know, this is so wonderful. So you see, this glory of the inheritance you receive is such a glory, big glory. But you need to have spiritual eyes to see it. But if you understand this, and if you come to see it, you're going to be happy. So happy. Amen? Excited. And when you get excited that way, the things, the little things, trivial things of this world, the worries, anxieties, and people fight a little bit, so what? Oh, glory! Hallelujah! You see, you know, this lifestyle changes. You can be happy all the time. And it's worth seeking that more and more. Because it's real in the spiritual world. It's like a substance. Glory is just like a substance in the spiritual world. Nobody can ignore it. Even evil spirits cannot ignore. They bow down. They can stand before God's glory. And God is willing to share that kind of glory with you. He wants to give it to you. But you need to participate in Jesus' sufferings. Amen. Hallelujah. You got a point here. So you need, you know, as this, again, Christians grow spiritually. I too grow. I didn't seek this kind. I didn't know this kind of truth before. Even 3 years ago, I didn't pay much attention to it. I knew something about the glory, but didn't seek glory as much as I do even today. Maybe then 2 years later, I will probably seek more of it. It's a spiritual growth. How much Paul is seeking that? Think about it. He was such a high level, therefore. Amen. Peter, too. Now, let's go to John 17. This is going to be our last sermon, and this is so bear with me. Bear with me. Okay. John 17. You know, there is, sometimes I talked about this in the past. There's, when you talk about the spiritual reality, you receive spiritual reality, okay, all the time when you study. Another way to say it is, there's a certain position in the spiritual world that you need to stay. That's the position God gave you. Be there all the time. As long as you're there, you're wonderful. Yeah? But then, if you come down from there, then you're going to have a problem. You're going to be vulnerable to all kinds of satanic attacks. Amen. Be where you should be in a spiritual world. There's a position. Don't come down from there. When you come down, you act just like just a man, Homo sapiens, walking in the flesh, in other words. You understand? But wearing priestly garments and wearing Jesus Christ, walking with the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, you are in that position. Satan cannot attack you. You see, you are filled with the glory. God is sharing his glory with you. John 17 and let's look at the verse from verse 20. This is Jesus praying to the Father. Verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. So that includes us. I mean, accept that. Then, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Now, again, already you began to sense that Jesus is talking about a certain position. All the disciples should remain, God is giving this position to them. This is where they should be and keep them as one. Do you understand? Spiritual reality, but another way to say it is a spiritual position. Do you sense that way? Read it again, okay? When you go home. And then, verse 22. I have given them the glory that you gave me. Glory, I have given them, not us, the glory that you gave me. Father gave Jesus glory, and Jesus gave that glory to us, sharing glory together. Amen. That they may be one as we are one. Yeah, as long as you are there in that position, in that place, in spiritual world, you are one with Father, you are one with the Son, and Hinematov all together. We're doing Hinematov, rejoicing. 23. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. In other words, they will see that you are different, or we are different. Or they will see that we are in a different place. Oh, you up there. Yeah, I'm not down below there where you are. I'm up here. They can see that. Different country. Amen. Amen. And then verse 24. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. This time, more specifically, he's speaking in terms of place, location, spiritual location, obviously. Because next day he died, and then he was raised, but he's gone. And we have to be there, up there? No, not physical, not in a physical sense. There is a position in the spiritual world, that we should be, and you should be, I should be. Hallelujah. In fact, you can also talk about each person different. God gives a different place where you should be in spirit position. Don't go down from there. See, look at verse 24. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. So what kind of glory are you talking about? Glory that the Son of God had before the creation of this world. Wow! And you will see that glory as long as you stay there. Do you accept this? He prayed to the Father. Oh, but the Father denied it. Possible? No, I cannot do that, Son. Sorry. Is that true? No. Father accept, obviously. Amen. Amen. So as long as you stay in this position, you can see His glory. And see His glory, just like when you go up to the heaven, all angels, everybody praising God 24, all the time. And they don't think it's strange or anything. They're natural, very natural. You're gonna feel that way too. It's, everybody's doing it. So you just go along with it. Praising God all the time. Because you see His glory in front of you. You cannot avoid it. You know, praising, giving thanks. Obviously, when you do that, you are what? Sad? No. Joy comes from God. God around God, joy in front of His presence. Where His presence is, joy always is there. So happy. Other way to say is in our human world, easy to understand. Rejoice always. Do not worry. Rejoice always. When you stop rejoicing, that's the sign you came down from that position. Amen. You put off that clothes, came out from there, Garden of Eden. Yeah? And you're not living as a priest anymore. Not praising God. Not serving Him anymore. Do you understand? You lost the joy. Things that you now see is all those things, earthly things. And then when you stare at them, looks like they're wonderful. They're worthy to see, valuable. And so you start thinking it. And soon you realize something's wrong with me. Yeah, you are very wrong. Again, you repent and you come up, and then you come to have joy again. This inside, this spiritual excitement, joy. Another way I would explain is excitement inside. Always you have this excitement, and you are alive. Amen. You are alive. You're not like dead. You're alive! Hallelujah. That shows, that aliveness or the joy itself is a glory. It's showing glory through your face. Peter, James, John experienced this once, in fact, when Jesus was on earth. When they went up, that's the position they should be, spiritual. But literally they went up to the high mountain, and then suddenly Jesus was praying, suddenly his figure changed. Clothes became so white, shining. And then one gospel, Luke says, they saw the glory of Jesus. They saw glory of Jesus. Now, that means that Jesus had that kind of glory all the time, but their eyes were closed, and so they couldn't see it, that's all. But Jesus was, in fact, spiritually, had that glory all the time. They couldn't see that. But when they were brought up to that position, they came to see it. Peter, in his letter, 2 Peter, he talks about that, how wonderful it was. I saw it. John also says at the very beginning of his gospel, after talking about the birth of Jesus, Christ, this word, Mishkan, put on the tabernacle and lived among us, and then so on. And he said, we saw the glory of the Son of God. How did he see it? Because he was up there. Amen? Don't try to seek that kind of experience on earth. You know, I mean, you are in that position. Jesus prayed here. Father, I want those of you, you have given me to be with me where I am all the time to see my glory, the glory that you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Even in the Old Testament, Moses, where did he go? Went up. To the mountain. And what did he do? He talked with God, Yahweh, which is Christ. Amen? So when he talked face to face, in a spiritual sense, yeah, face to face. Hallelujah. Not in a literal sense that God doesn't have face here. Spiritual sense. In a sense that God allowed him, and God gave the request. He said, I want to see your glory. But in the way that Moses acted, God said, no, you cannot see my glory and still live. So the immediate answer was no. But after that, all kinds of things. And then just one or two chapters later, you have this passage. Moses went up to the mountain and talked to him face to face. And what happened when he came down? His face was shining. That's a glory. His face. Why did it happen? Because he talked to God and God shared his glory. God gave his glory to Moses by having fellowship and talking to each other. And he came down. His glory is shining. Amen. And that shining is not like a glowing, like a sparkles. Because the word that is used, Karan means, Karan is in the play with the Keren. Keren is a horns. Also means rays of light. Because on top of a head of animals, standing this horn is. So they saw Moses, and the light was coming like a horn. So they were afraid. And even the glowing is afraid. They're going to be afraid about it. It's like. It's like when you see a star. And you are not perfect in your sight. It looks like psh, 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 like that. Do you understand? Yeah. So they expressed it as a horn. Horns of star, I guess. It's symbolically, Keren is used for glory. God rays. Our horns, meaning he gives his glory to us. Wow. Amen. Because Moses went to the position where he should be. And he talked with God. He had a fellowship with him. Amen. That's what you should do also. That's the position that you should be all the time. Don't come down. Amen. Amen. So, Philippians, let's go to Philippians. Let's look at chapter 4. In fact, chapter 3 also, if you have time, go home and read it. It tells you what kind of lifestyle he had. This itself, the way he lived. Giving up all the human stuff that he was proud of before, before he became a Christian, he gave it up. He thought of now as a loss. And he started seeking God's glory. Amen. So pushing himself all the time. Living for, let's look at the verse 14, just for chapter 3, verse 14. This verse expresses very well the kind of lifestyle he had. I press on toward the goal to win the prize. It's a prize. Of course, he uses the word prize. It's the same thing as glory. A crown of glory, you can say. Prize for which God has called me. Heavenward in Christ Jesus. He had this hope. That's why he was able to go through the hardship, persecutions, all kinds of things. Those things are just nothing to him. Amen? Amen. And look at verse 20. He said, our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. Our citizenship, that's our country. That's where we should live. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Again, I guess a body of glory, literally. But anyway, and then he goes on, verse chapter 4. It makes sense in the context. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. It seems, you remember we discussed this some time ago, in the church of Philippians, they had this problem. This is the only negative thing he talks about in his letter. And it seems like these people, these women he worked with at the time he went to this city and preached the gospel. And they were a big help. And because of them, he was able to preach the gospel. But they're now fighting. And something happened. The relationship is now not good. So he says, plead with Euodia, I plead with Syntyche, to agree with each other in the Lord. Yeah? You know, when you hear that kind of news, or even when you, of course, when you see that kind of thing happening in the church, you see, then your heart is sort of moved by it. You lose joy. Yeah? No. Don't do that. Amen. Don't come down from that position where you should be. Rejoice all the time. That's what Paul encouraged them to do. Verse 3, yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, this may be a personal name, yoke fellow. He's speaking to him or to her. And help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with the Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. And then verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. Don't look at the circumstances. I will say it again, rejoice. Especially, it makes sense that even he just talked about the problem that the church had. Do you understand? Don't be moved by it. Hallelujah. Stay in the place where you should be. Don't come down. Hallelujah. Verse 5, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, do not be anxious. Don't worry. Worries, anxieties, just those things. See, down below, you are on the airplane. You see down below, ocean. What do you see? Very smooth surface, isn't it? But when you go down, the waves are like this. But when you're up there, you don't see. It's smooth, shiny, and it reflecting God in a sunshine. Amen. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In other words, those things make you excited. Amen? Think about those things. When you're in that position, obviously you think about those things. When you're down, you come down, you don't think about these things. You think about the worries. Amen. You see? Think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So, this is what Paul said in a kind of a easy way. For us, it's more practical. But it's the same thing as don't come down. You know, don't come down from the place where you should be, where you see His glory all the time. Amen? And in that, as long as you stay in that position, God will use you. You will bear fruit, much fruit. Amen. But you know, sometimes some Christians have never been there. They're Christians, but have never been there. But once you've been there and you experience it, you don't want to come down. And when you come down, you know this. Uh-oh. Yeah? I'm in the wrong place, you see. And then you repent. And then you go up again. Hallelujah. If you have never been there, go there. Go up there. Hallelujah. Amen.